Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of
A Couple of Creatives.
It's always my most fun part of every episode.
I always have to think about the title for a second. Like, I know the podcast name, but then I'm like, don't screw it up, Chris.
For a while, I was telling people it was a couple of, like, creators, not creatives. And I was like, wow, I should really figure out the name of my own podcast.
Just write it down when we make the notes.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we have some special guests with us today. Lizzie.
So we've got Jess and Sir Wade here.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
We're great.
We're good.
So before we get too much further, we'll give some context. We're currently sitting in a hotel room in New York on a very last minute project is how we actually got to meet you guys.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
It's been fun. Great. Luckily, we all got along.
Yeah, that would have sucked if we didn't.
We spent like the last 2 days nonstop just hanging out, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, just talking life. And we were like, you guys should come on the podcast. So here they are. So to give some context, why don't you, first things first, before you talk about your careers, who you are, Sir Wade, tell us about your name. How is your name, Sir Wade?
It's probably my most asked question ever.
So it's a good place to start then.
It's a great place to start. Yeah, everyone thinks it's a bit that I just put it there to be funny, but Sir is my legal first name, born with it, and Wade Forrest is my middle name, so lots of interesting names going on. And my dad's just funny. For years, I didn't think about it, and then I finally asked, like, what is the deal with the Sir? And they're just like, okay, well.
We just had high hopes for you.
Yeah, I always thought it was like, oh, he looked out the window and saw Excalibur. I was born in Vegas, and it was just like this thing. And my mom's like, no, like, I was drugged up on painkillers. He went out the room, came back with the documentation, and that was your name. Dad, why was that?
Like, oh. So she didn't know?
No, she had no idea. I don't think she was very happy about it.
I legit thought it's because, like, your full name was taken on Instagram. So, you know, when you have to, like, add something, like, I'm the Chris Howe, not Chris Howe, because there's a real term in Colorado.
Yeah, I definitely thought that's what it was, too. And then Chris was like, no, no, Sir is his legal first name. I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, we were all shocked. So, awesome. Thank you for the context. So, tell us about both of your careers, what you guys do, just on, like, a surface level, and then we'll, like, dive deep as we get through the podcast.
After you.
Oh, okay. So I do lifestyle, style and fashion, and then girl boss content. And basically, I just try to have my channel be a place where a woman or a gal from any walk of life, any age, can just come to my channel and get inspiration and motivation and tips and tricks and advice for different things.
Awesome. Yeah. And Wade.
And I do animation and visual effects. And on YouTube, it's like a really weird thing to try and explain because most of the animation is like fun, like almost storyboard animatics. But mine's all based on like 3D animation, the animation industry, trying to make it more accessible. Because when I wanted to learn it, there was nowhere to go to like, how does one get into this? So
yeah. I mean, there's so much information if you want to get into photography and videography. But animation, I feel like you would literally still need to go to school or do an internship or have somebody like do a master class to really feel like you need to learn that. So this is your little niche that you're building right now. I think it's super dope. I think we're going to do a little collab at some point in the near future.
Yeah,
but
totally. I think it's so cool that you guys are in such different genres.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
It's an interesting mix because like we don't usually get to collaborate on the project, but when we do, it's usually something really like special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to get into that. But for now, just to give context to everyone, how did you guys meet? How did your story start out? I know we talked a little bit about this yesterday.
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
I'll tell the long version, so you go the short version.
Okay. Basically, to boil it down, back when I was first trying to make YouTube be a thing, I was working at this restaurant, and I was working at the takeout counter, and this guy, like, would come in. So the restaurant I worked at was BJ's, and they had a an online ordering service. So people could order on the app and then the little name tag would come out and it'd be like, oh, this person, they ordered this thing, and you'd like stick it onto the takeout box. So one day his name popped up and it was like Sir Wade Neistat. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, Sir Wade.
So mysterious.
Yeah. Everybody was like, what do you think he looks like? Do you think he's like old? Do you think he's knighted? Like, all these different things. And we were like really like speculating. Do you think he's British? Do you think he's hot? And then he walked in. We were like, that's not what we were expected at all.
Like, they're just like, oh.
Him.
Okay.
And yeah, so he started coming in, what, you like came in once every couple of weeks? And
it was every couple of weeks, then it was every couple of days, and it was almost every day. I racked up the rewards points like none other.
Nice.
And all of us at the takeout counter were like, okay, either he really, really likes our food, or he likes one of us.
Yeah. Persistent.
Definitely both.
And then it was over a course of a year that you came in.
11 months I did that. So that wasn't the creepy guy like coming in and like, hey, like you're working. Can I get your number?
Can you imagine if you didn't like the food?
Oh my gosh.
You're coming in for that long.
You're like, great, expensive food that tastes like crap.
It was expensive. But.
It was expensive. But it was funny because the whole time that he was coming in, I had a boyfriend, but he had no idea. And like, yeah, it just ended up working out where.
It's a good thing I never made a move or.
Yeah, it all would have. I guess, like, it never would have happened if you had made a move.
Right.
Because then I would have been like, oh, I have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. No more restaurant for me.
Yeah. So, basically, after a year of him doing that, you, like, moved out of the area, and then I no longer worked there or something. I don't know.
It was just this whole thing where, like, I left, and, like, we didn't talk anymore. But then there was some Snapchat. I was working at DreamWorks at the time, and I was wearing this motion capture suit. To be like, you know, the skin tight suit with the dots.
Sir Wade in a motion capture suit.
It was
perfect.
A look.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was for like How to Train Your Dragon, like layout stuff. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I'm like riding this dragon, but I'm like sitting on some like wooden stick or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. So I took a Snapchat back when Snapchat was a thing and like sent it to like everybody I could think of. Like, who would think this is cool? Oh, that cute girl from the restaurant. Like, why not?
Nice.
We started talking. We started texting. We started calling each other.
Yeah.
And then she asked me on the first date. And we never stopped going on dates.
And it was perfect.
Girl boss. Yeah. Love it.
That's right.
Out here, doing the most.
So I know when you were working at that restaurant, you had, I think you said you had like 13,000 subscribers at the time. And you'd moved to LA and you got this restaurant job so that you could pursue YouTube.
Yeah.
And your story is really interesting. And I'm only going to ask about Jess because I know your transition came a bit later. You were your own support system in starting YouTube. Can you tell everybody about how you got started and that whole journey?
Definitely. So I have been technically doing YouTube on and off since 2008. I've gone through like 5 channels, like channels with friends, channels where I like somehow decided I was like, I'm going to do a singing channel. Little did I realize I had to be able to sing to have one of those. So that failed.
On YouTube? You never know.
But yeah, so the channel I have now, I started in 2013, back when I was in my first year of college. And the reason I started it was because I was like making vines and stuff just like as a joke because it was fun. And then they started getting big and then people were like, please make more content. You are fun and funny and we want to see more.
Yeah.
Oh, so, stop it.
You know, guys, just kidding. This is gross. But yeah, so I started making YouTube videos. And the thing about college was I had no idea what I wanted to do. And like my whole senior year, I was like really stressed out because all my friends knew what they wanted to do. They knew what college they were going to. And like everything was just so figured out and decided. And I felt so dumb and wrong for not knowing what to do and not connecting with anything. So when I went to college, it was because my mom made me apply for college. She picked the college I was going to. Mm. And my major was just like, I picked the least boring sounding thing off the list.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I'm a media and cultural studies major now. Don't know what that is.
I think that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like you get into a program in college or university and you're like, oh my God, how did I get here? This is not at all what I want. I just thought I was supposed to do this.
Exactly. It's like there's the very traditional road to success. And it's like, if you don't follow that, people are like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. So anyways, I was going to college and I was hating it every day because I wasn't pursuing anything I was passionate about. I wasn't good at anything. I wasn't even like making friends, for which was the first time in my life. I had never connected with people and it was really isolating and lonely. So then to be able to just like make stupid vines and then ultimately later on that year, YouTube videos, it was just the most amazing creative outlet and I was finally having fun again. And I actually started feeling like hopeful. Mm-hmm. I was like, great, like this is something I actually like doing. And the first year I had YouTube, I think probably towards the end of my first year of college, I had maybe like, I don't know, 9 or 10,000 subscribers, maybe even less. And I got this idea in my head, like, what if I just drop out and like do YouTube? Which was like, looking back at the time, I'm like, I only had 10,000 subscribers and I was like, I'm going to drop out.
But still, in a year, you grew 10,000, which is pretty crazy.
That's true.
And you didn't have really much of an idea what you were doing. You were just trying it out and having fun, which did show that you were, you know, naturally talented at, you know, at Vines, at your YouTube videos.
Thanks.
You know, you were creative. And so it's really cool that you were, you know, self-aware enough to recognize not only that you were enjoying this more, but that you were actually good at it, when it's not something that people really come up to you and go, your vines are really sick. Maybe you should do that for life.
Maybe you should leave college.
Maybe you should leave college, says no one ever.
Yeah, that's your own path. You have to fully believe in yourself and see that like little product test being like, all right, well, if I can get 10,000, I can probably get another 10 and then another 10 and then another 10.
But how did you know that, I guess, because for me, I didn't know that YouTube or, you know, social media could, I never saw it as like a career path.
Yeah.
So how did you recognize so early that it could be?
So really it was kind of one YouTuber that I had watched, Bethany Moda. She was so big at that time, and I think she's still big, but she's not as like present. I think she's stepped back because things were so big a couple years ago. She had like this lifestyle channel, and she had her own clothing line with Aeropostale, and she had like a makeup thing. And then she also, I went to this YouTube event, YouTube space event, and she was speaking and she was talking about all the stuff she'd been doing. And I was like, there's so many different facets of like YouTube and sources of like revenue that I never even considered could be a thing.
Yeah.
Like the fact that she's making enough money that she like bought her parents a house, and like, it was shocking.
Yeah, that says
like,
everything.
Yeah.
That like, line item, house for parents.
Yeah.
Okay, this can be
so many of those. Or like bought a car for my boyfriend or all those things.
So I was like, maybe I could just try it. And then I told my parents. They were pissed, to say the least. My mom didn't talk to me for a couple months. And I like withdrew from college. That's the technical term. Withdrew, not dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I like moved an hour west to LA and started trying to make YouTube a thing.
And your whole life changed.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So dope. So then how did Sir Wade come into the mix, and how did that eventually become a thing?
So it was about a year and a half of me like working one to three jobs to try and like make enough money to like, I don't know, pay for rent out there, and doing YouTube and being in that like past relationship where they weren't like supportive of me. It was like a whole thing. And then finally, after me and that ex broke up, a couple months later is when we reconnected over Snapchat, which was when that happened. And you were like the first person I had truly met in Los Angeles who really was so encouraging and motivating. And it was like, some people were like, oh, that's cool. And some people were like, oh, that's really stupid. You're going to go back to school. But you were neither of those. You were like, oh my gosh, like, you're really good at this. You should do this. You have a passion for this. And from that point, when he was like encouraging me, that's when my channel started to really grow. It had been like pretty stagnant growth for a long time.
Yeah.
But once you started encouraging me to just go for it.
I didn't do a whole lot besides just tell you, like, quit your job, do this. Yeah. You don't like what you're doing anyway.
It makes such a big impact, because that was one of the things that I loved about you when we started dating. You were just like, yeah, well, why don't you do that? And I was like, oh, no one's ever said that to me before. They've just told me all the reasons why I shouldn't.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's just like knowing someone else believes in you is that extra bit of confidence that you just kind of need sometimes.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
So then, Sir Wade, you were, tell us about your career position at that time.
Yeah.
And then how you ended up making your transition to where you are now.
So at that time, so I guess like the super abridged version of my stuff is like, I didn't know I was going to do any of this either, or even animation. I was computer science, I was engineering, I was a bunch of things trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I thought I'd be a physicist or something. That did not pan out.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I started going into film, getting interested in that. I decided I made a film that did really well, really well.
Yeah.
And I went to a big festival, and then...
No, no, don't underplay it.
went to a big festival?
We know about it. Tell us really quick that story. Like, it doesn't have to be the long version, yeah. But not just like it went to a really big festival. Like,
you know, something.
The most important film festival in the world. Okay, backtrack a touch.
Okay. I was in college. There was this group that said, hey, like, make a 5-minute movie in a week. We're going to, you know, like, there's no budget. Just do a thing. It's a contest. There's some prizes. And I'm like, oh, I like prizes. That's fun. Like, yeah. what a cool thing.
You're the cutest human ever. I love you so much.
Sir Wade, motivated by gifts.
Yeah. I love things. Gifts. And the prizes weren't even that good. It was like sweaters. And like, I think it was an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription. I was like, oh, I want that subscription. Like software.
That's actually pretty sick. Software. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And I'd never touched any kind of editing software, except for like, what's it, Windows Movie Maker? That was my jam.
Oh, I've been there.
Like parkour videos. Anyway, I was like, oh, that's quite the upgrade. Let's go ahead and try for that. I made this movie about a sick superhero who gets called into work anyways. He's sneezing, blowing open walls. He's like rubbing his eyes. They're like watering and like lasers are shooting out. It was all just Video Copilot tutorials and Film Riot and whatever else. It was so weird and different from everything else that people were making. Didn't mean it was good. It was just different. And it won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Special Effects, and it got picked as one of 26 other films nationally to go to the Cannes Film Festival. It's 2014.
Mic drop.
You know, just a little festival.
Yeah, well, just a little festival.
Just a film festival.
I think there's a nice little like lesson in there too, that being different and making your own unique thing can be more powerful than trying to compete against the rest. So, you know, use that unique characteristic that you have. For anybody that's listening at home, it's a great example of where success can kind of go by being unique and being different.
Also, absolutely. When you finished that film, did you feel like it was that good?
Kind of. I mean, not like this is great. Like, yeah. I knew at the time, like, the audio is not very good. Looking back, you can't hear a word anyone's saying.
Yeah. Right.
It was like just in-camera audio in the middle of San Francisco with, like, trolley bells. Like, you can't hear anything.
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, well, it's not the best movie out there, but I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
Because I'd never touched VFX, like, for real. Like, but the whole movie was based around all these skills that I didn't think I could really do.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, it was cool.
I can't believe the first thing you made, like, getting into VFX went to the Cannes Film Festival. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When I got the email, I had to, like, Google, like, oh, Cannes Film Festival, that's cool. Like, what is that? I Googled, like, oh my gosh. Okay, I guess I'm going to that. That's when I pretty much checked out of college, too.
Iconic.
Yeah.
It was like I had final. It was during finals week that it was like, okay, the trip is the same week as finals week, so you're gonna have to. Like, I don't care what I have to do. Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
I talked to all my professors. Most of them were like, yeah, don't worry about it. If you fail the class, you can take it again. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can't miss this.
No.
Yeah. So it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went to it thinking like, I'm gonna get a job and film, and like that didn't happen at all, but. I did get like direction. I was really struggling with like, what do I want to do? Do I want to do computer science? I was interested in animation. I'd heard about it. Anyway, when I went, DreamWorks was there showing How to Train Your Dragon 2. And that was like the big red carpet premiere, all this stuff. And so I thought, I'm going to go to that. I just had this feeling like, that's where I'm going to get my clarity. I'm going to find out if this is something I want to like pursue versus like, I want to go be a computer science major. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a master's. Like the thing everyone tells you, you have to do these things to be successful. And I went, I somehow finessed tickets to this red carpet thing that was sold out. I'm like 12 seats from the director and all the cast and crew watching this thing on the big screen. We're all in tuxedos, like it's crazy formal. And I just remember sitting there in the movie and the credits start going, they're standing up, everyone's clapping. And I was just like, this is what I want to do. People awesome. Like made those pixels on the screen, like those characters I just like, you know, everyone in the theater is like weeping for. It's like, they're not even people. Like, they're just puppets on the screen. I want to do that.
Yeah.
So I went back to the hotel, called my parents, said, I'm out. I'm dropping out of school, doing animation. And they're just like, okay, good luck. Yeah. Any idea where you're going? Nope. But we're going to figure it out.
Sir Wade has very encouraging parents.
I do.
Awesome.
My parents are fantastic. They are just like, here, have confidence. Here, you can do what you need to do. You'll figure it out.
Your parents.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps a lot just having this like blind faith that things are going to kind of work out. And just knowing that there's people behind you to support you even if you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps a lot. That's, I think, why I'm definitely a very encouraging person, probably why you are too, just because it came from our family, and all my family everyone in the family is an entrepreneur and they started their own business. So I think there was enough of a case studies to be like, well, I guess this kind of works out if it worked out for the rest of the family. So that's an awesome story. How did you go from, okay, real quick, tell us about how you ended up landing a job and then how you transitioned into YouTube. And then I want to hear about your Jess's support in that decision.
Totally. So basically after that festival, I signed up for Animation Mentor, which is an online animation school where all the teachers are from the studios. They all work actively somewhere in the industry. And it's like weekly classes with other people around the world. There's video lectures, that kind of thing. And so a lot of people do it like after hours, work full time, whatever. And so I did that. It's an 18-month program. And at the end of it, it was like November. I had $37. I had like quit my job to like focus on school. It was this crazy other story that I won't get into now. But during the time I was at the school, some of the advice I'd been given was like, if you want to get into the industry, you need to be present at events. You need to go to stuff. You need to be involved in the community. So go to this thing called CTN, which is this animation. There's not a lot of animation conventions, but this was the one that people were like, you should go to this one. And I went twice within that period of time. And both times I met somebody, the same person from DreamWorks who had been working there, who I befriended. And I didn't know he worked at DreamWorks, but we just made friends, hung out. And then that November that I was graduating the school, it was that same event. And I met up with him again. And he's like, oh, so how's it going? I'm like, oh, good. Like, I quit my job. I'm about to finish school. He's like, that's awesome. But wait, you quit your job? I'm like, well, yeah, I had to finish strong, really wanted to focus, make sure I had a good reel. Because in animation, it's not, they don't care if you have a degree. It's completely about your work and your demo reel, kind of like video and everything else, which is great for me as a dropout. But he's like, well, what are you doing next month? He's like, I don't know. I have $37. I'll figure it out. Rent's due in 4 days. Like, I'll figure something out.
Oh, my God.
He's like, well, I mean, we have an opening in our department.
Really weren't worried?
Oh, no. No, I was so focused on that event. I was like, oh, I have 4 more days. That's plenty of time.
You're so like laser focused on the end goal.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think in those 4 days, I like built like a Microsoft Office training business and sold it to Chambers of Commerce to like teach them Office 2016 had just come out. And it was like, yeah, that's
right.
Awesome. So I made rent in those 4 days and it was fine. But, but yeah, so then he was like, well, we have an opening. Like, do you have any like computer skills? I'm like, oh. Yeah, I got you.
Do you have any computer skills?
Right. He's like, do you have any training skills? And I had actually been a tutor in college when I was doing computer science. So I had all these, like, I had done all these things that perfectly mapped so serendipitously to this opportunity. Showed him my resume, gave me some notes, applied, got the job at the last minute. It was like this, they were going to hire somebody already. They were about to extend an offer. And on the last, like, hour before they sent it, I swooped in, came in for an interview the next day, like, did
pulled
awesome.
Them out of the water.
Apparently.
The finesse.
Wow.
And I started working at DreamWorks as a trainer. And I was there for 2 years before I just decided, like, I was super stoked to be at DreamWorks, but I just thought there's so much more out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so many people in animation, like, the goal is like, I want to get to Disney or Pixar or whatever. And that's awesome. But, like, there's so much going on right now in the world, content-wise, animation-wise. I just thought, if I don't try this while things are happening, I'm going to regret it forever.
What did it feel like when you got to DreamWorks, though? Were you like, I made it, like a little bit. At
least. Oh, yeah.
Were you like, I made it.
I was in shock.
I'm here now. Can't even believe I got this far. And it's just so funny how I think, like, we notice this every 2 years. We, like, change our life plan again.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what happened to you when you met Jess? And how did your thought process change?
Yeah, I mean, when I first got to working there, I just thought, like, well, this is it. This is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Like, this is great. Free food, beautiful campus. Why leave? And I was just so stoked to be, like, somewhere so quick. And then the one thing I didn't have through all of this is, like, someone to, like, share everything with. Like, it was cool doing all these things. And I would look back and, like, oh, I went to this festival. And I did this thing. I got this job. And, like, this is so great. But I'd go home and I was just kind of like, not that I was like lonely, like, oh, poor me. But it was just like, okay, cool. Like, now what?
Yeah.
I was just working a lot and I was happy with it. But I don't know. It felt like something was, like, I could never talk to anybody about cool experiences. Most of my friends weren't interested in the same things as me. So it was just like, you know, it was cool. But that's as far as it went. It was just like, okay, cool. I'll go home. I'll do my thing. I'll go to work. And it was a routine and I liked it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I really realized until I met Jess, I started going to this restaurant and, you know, we started dating, hanging out, and I had never really dated someone so creative and like driven before. So when we finally started dating and like hanging out constantly, he was like, whoa, this is awesome. Like,
yeah, yeah.
People relate to things. Yeah, this is great.
She does things.
She does things. She makes things. We could make things together.
So then how did you have the foresight? Because you kind of mentioned there being like, oh, all this stuff is happening in other spaces of content and on YouTube. Like, how did you, again, know you're like, oh, I just want to, this is what I want to do. And then I kind of mentioned it before, but how was the conversation about you fully jumping into YouTube and just what was your opinions on that and stuff?
So I had been doing YouTube for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years. And it was like going well. And I was like, you should start a channel.
Yeah, and I'd been
because
thinking
you,
about it.
Yeah, you'd been
so many YouTubers that's like, yeah, you should start a channel. And yeah, they're like, what?
Yeah, yeah. He'd like talked about it. He's like, oh, like there's nobody on the YouTube animation space. Like there's not enough resources out there online. Like I'd love to do that. And I'm like,
so
why,
do it then.
Why don't you?
Right.
You should do it.
And I was like, oh, just go for it. I guess you're right. It is that thing of like when you hear someone say it, like you should do that. Like I should, shouldn't I?
It's like, but why can't you? And you're like, there is no reason why I can't.
Yeah.
But you just can't get there on your own.
Yeah, because when I first was interested in like, how do I do animation? I Googled that question, like, how do I become an animator? And the only two answers out there were, or like, oh, I called Disney in 1991 and they said, you've used a computer, you're in. Because at one point it was that easy to get a job because it was so new. And obviously that's not how it is anymore. It's highly skilled and everything else. So, but there was no one who was like, there were no instructions for like, how do you do it now? Mm-hmm. Except for,
and there's so many people that are interested in that too. Like you could be the Andrew Kramer of your space. Like I bet you when he first started and he was like, oh, I'm going to do special effects for like videos. And then he ended up getting to a career where he is now, you know, working on like Star Wars films and things like that. But you know, he was just putting out tutorials on his own website or putting them on YouTube. So, you know, I think the fact that you recognize that there's a need for that in the space, you'll speak to an audience of somebody who wants to, who was you a couple years ago being like, well, how do I get into this? Yeah. How do I learn it? How do I develop my skills? And I think that's awesome.
So it sounds like something it was something that you wanted to do, but also you guys mentioned that there is a bit of a disconnect at one point because you were getting lots of opportunities and you wanted to travel and things like that were starting to come up and you were working at DreamWorks and you wanted to also participate, you know, right. You're like, all of this looks fun. I want to come.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. Did it affect your relationship? How long did that last before you were like, well, we're just going to jump into this together?
So I think it was towards the end of the year before last that you had started your channel in, 2017?
Yeah.
And it was like I started getting more opportunities towards mid to end of 2017. And I always wanted to like take them or do something with them or like, I don't know, we had so many friends or like people we knew or knew of that were starting to travel more for work and like, I don't know, be travel vloggers and stuff. And we were like, that looks like so much fun. And we had not traveled together. And we'd only gone on small trips and we loved traveling together so much that we were like, what if we travel vlog or try it out for a while.
Yeah. Cause I mean, we didn't have a lot of like, there wasn't a huge period of time where Jess was like going on all these cool trips and I was sitting at home like sad.
Yeah.
There was one trip to the Philippines that she got to go and they did like extend it to me like, oh, he could go for like a week and I could get that off of work I had saved up all my vacation days. I never use vacation days. And so I was able to go on the very few trips that had happened in that period. Mm-hmm. But I realized very quickly like, okay, well, I'm out of days. Like if anything else comes up, like I won't get to go. I really want to go.
And more stuff started like coming up and we were like, well, I don't know. I don't really want to go to like this big thing without you. So towards the end of 2017, moving into the beginning of 2018, we started entertaining the idea of like, or not entertaining, we kind of were like, oh, you know, it'd be so fun if we like could just travel and like do things and like not, you wouldn't have to go to work. And you started becoming increasingly frustrated with how work was going.
Yeah.
Just because of a dynamic change.
Like going somewhere, like, okay, be there at 9:30 in the morning. Do the things everyone wants me to do. Mm-hmm. Not really learning anything anymore. Just kind of doing the job. Like, it's not fulfilling. Gotta grow.
Especially because you weren't doing animation. You were doing something.
Right. The training job was not creatively fulfilling. It was it was cool purpose for a while, but then after a while, I was like, okay, well, I've gotten good at this. Animation is what I want to do. I'm not animating. So if I'm not animating and I'm not quite ready to be an animator just yet, why don't I do something more fun with you in the meantime?
Yep.
And it worked out great because we like, it was like in a week we decided like, yeah, you should quit your job. Let's break our lease. Let's go move in with your parents. Let's go travel. And like, we'll use the money that we would have used on rent to travel. And we have no kids. We have no pets. We have no mortgage or home to take care of. Let's do it.
Yeah, it was one Sunday right at the end of like the Christmas break we got. We got a 1 week Christmas break at work. And it was the Sunday before I had to go back. I was like, I don't want to go back. What if I didn't go back?
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't. What if we just left entirely? Let's just get out of the country.
Yeah.
Change our names. Okay, maybe not that far.
Got to keep the sir, though.
Yeah.
Just sir. I only go by sir. One word. So, yeah, we decided, like, so quick. And within a week, we, like, did all that. We packed up everything. And it was, like, I cannot believe we did that so quick and just, like, went for it.
Yeah.
This is going to be kind of a weird question, but it sounds like there have been a lot of moments in both of your lives where you've just like gone out on a limb and tried something and it's worked. But what do you think it is that allowed you to do that? Or like, what advice would you give to someone who is maybe nervous about making a leap like that?
For me, it's like, it's always like, I don't have that much to lose. Like I do and I don't. It's like the worst case scenario would be, oh, moving to LA and YouTube didn't work. I'd move back with my parents, which would have sucked a lot. But I mean, it's not like I'm now like living on the streets and like there's always like been kind of, I guess like a, not a safety net, but the worst possible scenario was not that bad.
Yeah.
And it was just like, also I was just so like reckless. I feel like I look back at myself every 6 months and I'm like, wow, I did some like dumb crap back then.
We were talking about that yesterday. I'm like, that doesn't seem like me at all. How did I do that?
I feel like I just kind of go for things sometimes. And like, I kind of think about it. But I'm like, I mean, it'll probably be fine. Things will probably work out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like blind faith, I guess.
I had two pieces of advice. One is pretty much like when people ask like, oh, like, how do I find my passion? How do I like pursue it? Like that whole thing. Because that for me, the whole thing is like, if I'm interested in something, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I've always kind of tried to figure out like, what, how do you define the passion? Like, how do you figure out like what, like I'm interested in so many things. How do I pick one? I always just look at like, what do I do when I'm procrastinating? Whenever you're trying to find like, what are you really interested in? What should you do? What should you actually pursue if you are going to take a risk? Like if you're doing something as a procrastination tactic, it's probably something you're interested in. I mean, you could just be wasting time, but more than likely, that thing is a good indicator of what you're actually passionate about because you're doing it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then beyond that, the second piece is just like, you can always go get another job. Like if you got in, like if you got a job at Starbucks, you can probably get another job at Starbucks. If I was at DreamWorks, I could probably go back to DreamWorks. Like you usually don't go backwards. So if you try doing something else, it doesn't mean you're going to ruin what you have necessarily.
Yeah.
So why not give it a shot?
Yeah.
Say you tried it. If it doesn't work, then cool. You can go back and go the safe way.
I think the same way. And especially your note about procrastinating, it's because it matters so much. Whatever it is you have to do matters so much to you that you're afraid of starting because you could fail. And I do that all the time.
Yeah.
No, great pieces of advice. I'm curious because we experience it. Like there's a lot of like really great times and also through social media, you promote a lot of like the positive things too. Do you ever find that there's conflict both being creatives? Like you guys share, a camera. When you told me that you share a camera, my like mind, like I, it makes sense.
That would have caused like, a lot of problems in our relationship.
But like it does, it could not work for Lizzie and I. Like sharing gear just does not work. And like we're both aware of it and we're okay with that.
We share lenses and it's okay. Right now.
Yeah.
For now.
For now. Like for traveling, it's hard to bring two sets of everything. So we have to. But if we were just sharing like one body and one set of everything and trying to do both our channels. Well, also that's like our genre.
Yeah.
We couldn't really do that.
Yeah.
But.
So maybe like how do you deal when conflict comes up? Because to say that it doesn't come up is It's not true.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. It's not that it's a lie, but I mean, Lizzie and I deal with conflict differently, and every relationship is different that way. But for example, you know, through sharing a camera or through other scenarios, how do you guys deal with the conflict of both being creatives
working together on each of your channels that are sometimes so different? Yeah.
It was a lot easier when I was really inconsistent. And it was like, oh, I'm going to need the camera like at some point this month. And she'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, cool. Sounds good.
Now that we're both doing it actively, and I mean, yeah, it's gotten a lot tougher, especially as I've learned, like, wow, natural light looks a lot better than when I try to film at night with my lights. Maybe we are going to compete for this camera during the day.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, as of recently, it's definitely been more of a struggle because we have one tripod that's not even good.
Oh, our tripod is so janky.
I can see it.
I'm concerned
it's going to fall.
That tripod is from my senior year in high school from my digital video class. We filmed a project and then I forgot to return it.
Oh my God.
And that's the tripod we still have.
Oh no.
I kind of love that though.
It's like 6 years old.
You work with what you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the, what are those? The snaps on it, on the legs are broken. They're cracked. So it just slips down sometimes throughout a video slowly. It's like a nice pan. So yeah, we need to get a new one. So we have that. And then like the camera is a struggle. SD cards are a struggle. And you're always getting on me because I always forget to format them. And you're like, do you have this stuff? And I'm like, I don't know if I have these things.
I feel like that's probably our biggest point of contention is like, I build a system for the gear. Yeah. Like my office, I have like an IKEA Calyx, these squares where I keep like, okay, this is the camera area, the microphone area. Like everything has its place. And I'm not like super OCD organized about everything. But with gear, I feel like we have to be to a point. So it's like, okay, every time you film a video, immediately offload everything on the card, whether it's yours or not, onto the computer, copy it on the hard drive, put the card back here so it's ready for the next person. And
yeah, I'm like that.
I can never find any of the SD cards. I'll just look, I'm like, they're all gone. We have like five. And they're just gone.
They just stay in my office.
And then I'll be like, babe, where are the SD cards? Oh, they're here somewhere. I was editing in bed. I was on the couch. I was at my desk. And so I'm digging through blankets trying to find these tiny cards. When I find, I'm like, oh, here it is. Can I take this? Oh, no, I don't have everything off that. I only pulled off like five pictures. Like, what do you mean you only pulled off five pictures?
Well, okay, the problem is that you have an office. You have a space for everything. My office is half the bedroom, half like this crappy desk from IKEA.
It's pretty small.
It's pretty small. It doesn't fit everything. I can't even edit right. So I always just like edit in bed or on the couch because it's so uncomfortable to sit and edit at. My arms go up here. It's like
the T-Rex arms for the people listening.
So I just edit wherever and then things will happen. I'm like, oh, I have to cook dinner. I just set things down and it just gets moved. Like our cat Luna will jump up on the couch. I'm like, oh, I don't want her to knock that off. I'll put it on the credenza or I'll put it like on the coffee table. And then things just get moved. And I know I need to be better, but it's just like, I mean, life.
Yeah. Do you think that it would be hard on your relationship if you guys like both didn't understand how YouTube and social media works?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. For sure, especially because I take a lot of the pictures and stuff. And at the beginning, like I didn't fully understand. Like, I mean, she's in a totally different space as like style and fashion. I don't know anything about that stuff. Mm-hmm. So when she's like, no, you have to, like, my arm looks dumb. You have to tell me when this happens or when my shirt does this. I'm like, what are you talking about?
There have been some times where he shot photos of me and I'm like, oh, great. My whole bra was just showing. You didn't tell me that, like, my shirt had gotten tucked up.
That's not the style? It's
like, yeah. I didn't realize that was your bra. Oh, okay. Okay. So it's just like stuff like that. So that's been interesting to like figure out what. And it's also hard when both of us being creative, me trying to explain how I want something to look and him trying to shoot it. Just that communication is really difficult. And I think that goes the same because when you want me to shoot something for you, you're like, no, I didn't want it like that. But it's hard to explain your vision to someone.
Yeah. We have such different styles. Like, I'm much more like, oh, this is going to be cinematic, like cool colors, all this. And she's like, no, this needs to be like cute and fun. And it's very different, our inclinations to like shoot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So communication has been a huge one for just our relationship in general, but also as it relates to content.
Yeah.
Like how we work together. It's.
Yeah, well, it's not even communicating your vision, but also just communicating in general to the other person. It's like I have more issues with it. I know, and I'm like, I acknowledge that. I skim through things because I just assume that she like either.
You make assumptions.
I make assumptions, which is really tough. And I also feel like I sometimes I'd talk and I thought I already had like had put it out in the world, but I hadn't actually vocalized it. And then she's like, we didn't even talk about what's happening. This is going on.
I can literally, when I'm talking to Chris, sometimes watch his eyes glaze over and I know he's not listening. And because he's just like, yeah, like he does this thing. It's not even yeah, it's just yeah. Yeah. And he'll say it three times and I'm like, what did I just say? Hmm?
Yeah.
I do that same thing.
What?
I just like live in my head sometimes so much and like seven I'm visualizing years. And then you guys are like, you might ask me a question while I'm like still processing a thought or going through something
like
or I'm thinking
like
about
twice
the video.
During this podcast.
He's like getting called out.
What?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, do you think you guys like that you're both bringing it back home? Do you think you like that you're in different genres at the end of it? Or because, like, for example, we do the same thing. So, like, it's both a blessing and a curse because I'm like, oh shit, I was gonna do that like idea next week. I guess I can't now.
Yeah, we have to compete for ideas, time. If we need help, you know, if Lizzie needs to help shoot something for me or vice versa.
It's sometimes not that we're competitive, but we compare more.
Yeah.
Because of that.
I feel like that would be so hard on your end. I can't imagine you being in my space at all.
No, I mean.
It doesn't make sense for your personality. But
Sir Wade's fashion channel.
Like, men's fashion wear.
Just t-shirts and jeans.
Had a dress as an animator.
Here's my favorite black shirts.
I feel like, I mean, ours is definitely like also a blessing and a curse, but in very different ways. I'm like, oh, like those are some really weird situations to go through. Like, because us, it's, I guess it's kind of the inverse where, I guess that makes sense, but like I get no help with ideas. I mean, that's not true. She has great ideas and I can always come to her for like good like animation ideas. I'm like, oh, I need to do a video that's going to like help the animation community. Mm-hmm. Got anything? And she's like, I mean, what do you guys struggle with? I'm
like, well. Like, I literally have no suggestions.
Right. And she'll be like going through a video topic about something fashion or style. And it's like, hey, like, do you have any tips for, well, never mind.
Like, you have no tips for petite girls. Not today. I like that we're in different spaces. I like that we don't have to worry about like, I don't know. I like the same idea, like making the same idea. Because I think people already outside, they're like, oh, like he shoots and edits all your videos. Or like, oh, she like gives you all your, I don't know, like people.
That's true. People always
lump us.
Yeah. People actually with Jess especially, people really, when they see us out in public and I've got a camera and just, I might just be shooting something unrelated. Maybe I'm grabbing some pictures of her, but people always just assume that like, oh, you must do all of her shooting and editing. It's like, why would you think that? Like, no, of course not.
So I think if we were in the same space, I think people would discredit my work a lot more because they'd be like, oh, well, your husband also does the same thing. He probably does it for you. Right. And I think that would happen.
That happens to me a lot.
That's a bummer.
And well, also because Chris has like a larger following and especially because he's been seen on Pete's channel quite a few times, like a lot of people will recognize you. And then I'm standing there with my vlog set up. They're like, oh, hi, who are you? Oh, do you shoot for him? And I'm like, no.
You're like, I shoot for me.
Me.
I do want to make the point though that has changed drastically for you over the last
A lot
year.
More people, but no, it happened like last week.
No, I'm saying in terms of numbers. I say like because it happened once, 10 other people recognized you. So, you know, I just want to acknowledge at least that, you know, things are changing. People are recognizing your brand and making less assumptions based on a lot of the content that you're creating.
No, they are, but it still happens.
I know. I said it still happens. I'm just talking about percentages.
Chris is getting defensive, guys.
No, I'm because I recognized it at the beginning. I did see that when we were first starting, but less and less.
It's not your fault.
No, I didn't say it's a fault thing. I just wanted to let the world know that it's not always happening.
Yeah.
It does happen, yes. Less and less.
I think Chris took this as a personal attack on him. I forgot our next question. Also, we can cut this out, but how much time? Have you been timing this or no?
Yeah, we're at 44 minutes. So we can like ask one more question.
One more question. Sum it up. Okay. So you guys brought up yesterday while we were out, you travel a lot for work and for YouTube and all that stuff. And do you find that it's hard for you guys to stay present when you're traveling and you want to see this place, but also get work done? Like, do you feel pressure to always be taking photos and to always be working while you're on these trips.
Yes. So much.
We have no idea how not to do that.
Yeah.
Like, listen to your guys's like tips. On, like we were just like, how do you do it? Cause
yeah,
we have no balance.
Like, for example, this morning before you guys came over, I had like this meltdown because I was like, I have to film this video and like, there's not enough time. And it just wasn't working in this hotel room because this isn't my set. This mm-hmm. isn't my bedroom where I know I can like move things. I can't move these beds. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to film something because I need to edit that on the plane that because I haven't been editing the last 2 days because we've, you know, been doing stuff and yeah. I've been trying to like,
we took a whole day off.
Yeah. And it was fun. And I'm so glad we did that. But also then
we never do that.
Yeah. We yeah. never do that. But then I was just like freaking out because I want to edit this and I want to send it over tonight to get approved for this week. And it just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I'm like just freaking out because I'm like, I could have been doing this, but I also should have been doing this. But then I was so glad I did this. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's always my huge struggle. There, I can't find a balance with it.
Yeah,
it's I feel so like, hard.
I feel like we half experience everywhere we go. Like most of the time, if we're going somewhere for like a week, maybe 2 or 3 days, we'll actually get to see it. The rest of the time, we're either holed up in our hotel room editing or we are out, but we're shooting and everything's just through the lens. We don't really take it in.
Yeah,
we're not
yeah.
really trying a lot of food. We don't eat. We just like go.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and then at the end of it, we're like, wow, we really forgot to like enjoy this.
Like, yeah. You watch your videos back and you're like, I'd love to go there. That looks so really great. Fun.
That literally happened. We did this whole like, we have all of our footage from like Ibiza, the island, and we didn't have a great experience when we went. That's another story. Various reasons. But like, we're like, oh, I don't know if I'd come back here. And then we were going through our footage and we were looking at these pictures and like, wow, we should book a trip to, wait, this is our, we recorded this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even remember being here.
Yeah. It's yeah. weird.
We experienced that towards the beginning when we were getting into like the travel content space. I think we would do these press trips and we'd just like let them organize it. And when a company does that, they're just trying to get you through
everywhere up a mountain
as quickly as possible to as many locations. They're like, oh, 9 locations in a day. Psh, other press people do it. And you're like, no, YouTubers need more time.
Yeah.
Content creators need more time than someone who just comes in and writes an article. And not to discredit people who just come in and write an article, just camera setups, locations, timing, framing, like all those things require a lot of attention.
Yeah.
That and they would not realize that when we get back in the evening, we have to do data management.
Yeah.
So like our pickup that morning would be at like 7:30 or 7 a.m. sometimes. And then the dinner we would have to be at this restaurant would be at like 8 or 8:30. So then we're not back at the hotel till like 10 o'clock. Then we're doing data and everything. And we're so exhausted because they've made us go canyoning 3 times.
Yeah.
And like we had to climb a mountain once.
Like we made it look like the Azores was like the best time ever on like the one press trip. And we didn't really get to experience it. And now we've been back
literally
other
clip.
Times.
There's literally like one of our favorite clips that we use in everything where you can't see my face because I'm canyoning, but I'm actually crying.
Yeah.
And no one knows.
Because I was so sore. Because there was a waterfall. So then they're just like, oh, that's just the water splashing on her face.
It's so funny.
Gotta guide the perspective.
But we've learned, because I think that was like an extreme situation where it was so intense that we needed to be like, okay, we need to pull back. So now when we go on trips, we like book a full day off to just like enjoy. We ask for a lot of free time, have a car for ourselves so that we can just go and do stuff and just have suggestions versus like actual scheduled things. Mm-hmm. Because what we do now is if there's a location that we really like, we'll go, we'll shoot exactly what we need, not more, not less, exactly what we need, and then like be present in that moment afterwards. So if we're there for a half an hour, max 15 minutes is spent shooting, and then the other 15 is meant for just like us.
Mm. Yeah, I think we try our best to like set out time that we're going to work and set out time that we're, you know, going to have for free on a trip. But that doesn't always work out. But I think, you know, if you see an opportunity and you end up in a certain place, you're like, I just want to enjoy this, then don't get mad at yourself later for just enjoying that spot and not taking a photo. That would be the only thing that I've learned is don't beat yourself up about it later if you didn't shoot something or you didn't take that photo or same thing. If you ended up working through that location because you had to get a certain job done, don't beat yourself up because you didn't see it. If it's important to you, go back and whatever and just try not to be so stressed as you're shooting it. Like Chris and I say to each other all the time, we're like, nothing really matters.
Yeah.
And like somehow that's oddly comforting to both of us. Because, like, we'll get so stressed out about something. I'll be like, but just remember, nothing matters.
Yeah. And, like, all the anxiety goes away. But, you know, I think it's important. Like, I'd rather spend a full day with you guys and just hang out and be friends, knowing that, like, that was a time that we had and that there was no pressure to be like, let's do a collab. Let's do this. Let's do all this. And it's, like, trying to fit in so much that, like, you just – you're like, oh, I just went through that experience rather than actually being there and being present and being a human, like what it was almost like previous to YouTube life.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like this whole other world where I'm like, this is kind of nice and nostalgic and like nice. Right? And like YouTube life is great, but you know, making more room for life in that time, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. I think that might be a good area to kind of like end it. So thanks guys so much for being on the podcast. Please tell us where we can find all your channels and where you'd like people to come and find what you're up to.
Cool.
After you.
Oh, okay. So pretty much on any social media platform, you can find me at Jessica Neistat, not to be confused with Casey Neistat, who we are not related to that we're aware of.
I'm pretty sure there's some ancestral connection there, but there like, we have no proof of that. So
it'd be on your side.
Well, I guess that's true.
It's not even my name. It's my married name.
And how do we spell your last name so we can find it?
Neistadt. So it's like Casey, but with the D before the T.
Neistadt.
Like that.
And Sir Wade, where can we find your stuff?
I am Sir Wade FX, the letters FX, on pretty much everything, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and so on. Also Twitch. I've been doing animation and VFX on Twitch if you want to watch that live.
Cool.
Superstar.
Well, thanks again, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Peace.